Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. One of the reasons I started the Weddings for Real podcast back in 2018 and then formed the Planner's Vault back in 2020 is because I wanted to create a community of wedding professionals who could share ideas, grow together, and avoid the feeling of being on an island with your business. You're not alone. And yet sometimes we feel like we're the only ones who feel overwhelmed. We're the only ones who feel like the to-do list is impossible to get through. We're the only ones who feel like we need a break from it all. Well, let me remind you, friend, you are not alone. And on this episode, we're talking to a former clinical psychotherapist and current CEO development strategist who will tell you that if you have all of those feelings, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I can't wait for you to join me on episode 195 of the Weddings for Real podcast. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert! It takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings for real. My guest today is Kelly Ruda, a CEO development strategist who teaches business owners how to transform inner limits that sabotage time, team, money, and leadership. And just based off of that, I hope you're excited for this episode. Her focus is on helping service-driven entrepreneurs create powerful psychological breakthroughs that lead to business growth, and that makes her the perfect guest for today's episode. Now, Kelly was a clinical psychotherapist for 20 years, but then she felt a new calling.
Around the 19-ish year mark, I started to feel this yearning, longing tug, knock at my door from life, the universe, whatever you want to call it, saying there's more for you. There's a different way to serve, a bigger, more impactful way to serve. And that was not part of my plan, Megan. My plan was go to grad school, be a therapist until you retire, and then go live on the beach somewhere.
Actually, I've always said that being a wedding planner is around 40% therapist, so I think we're in good company here. But instead of therapy, Kelly is a coach, consultant, and strategist for female entrepreneurs.
And in a nutshell, what I do is deep dive work to help you build the inner architecture and the identity of the owner, the entrepreneur, the CEO that your business is calling you forward to be. Because I see too many people working on strategy and tactics and marketing and sales, which is incredibly important, of course, but it's not the whole game. If you want to play the long game, which is what business is all about, you have to become the person that your business needs you to be. And that's exactly what I work on with people.
I really think this conversation is important to talk about figuring out where you are right now and if there are certain reflections or just moments of pause to take into account how to get out of that crushing feeling of overwhelm that many small business owners are feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said moments of pause, because as much as I would love to be able to show up to a podcast and deliver the magic elixir for, you know, just eradicating all the stress and overwhelm, it unfortunately doesn't work that way. But these moments of pause, Tara Brach refers to them as, you know, sacred pauses. That's what gives you the window, the opportunity to shift your perspective, your state of being, your emotions, the decisions you're making in the moment. But what I want to tell everybody who's listening, and I wish I was hearing people, especially in my industry, say this more often. What I want to tell you is there's nothing wrong with you. Please understand that what you are feeling right now, what you're going through right now, is not the product of you not being strong enough or tenacious enough or resourceful enough. Human beings are not wired to adapt to chronic stress terribly well. We do very well with acute stress, so short-term things. So remember when the... It's almost funny to say, remember when the pandemic started? We all thought this was going to last 6 weeks. You know, we all would have been fine. Most of us would have been fine if it was a 6 week period of time or even a handful of months that we had to ride the wave, adapt to, make some changes, be flexible, all of those things. We would have been okay. The problem is we thought it was going to be 6 weeks. Then we thought it was going to be 6 months. Then we thought it was going to be a year. And now it's turned out to be, you know, the better part of 2.5 years. We're not wired to perform incredibly well under extreme stress, in some cases life-threatening, because this was a global pandemic. We are wired to survive. We will figure out the shortcuts. We'll figure out the, how do I just get from point A to point B, or from this morning's coffee to this evening's wine, right? We can figure that out. But thriving during chronic periods of stress, that's not really typically what happens.
Yeah.
So if you take anything away from this conversation today, I hope it's a sense of validation that allows you to exhale and stop being so hard on yourself. Because my guess is that your listeners, you are particular. You can lean maybe towards some perfectionism. You can lean towards some rigidity about it needs to be this way. And this way is the bar that is set extremely high that you want to even surpass for your clients. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult during a pandemic. So please just hear what I'm saying to you. It's not you. It's that you're human and you're not wired to thrive under these sorts of circumstances.
That's so helpful. You did such a great job of really hitting home on, one, the characteristics of those in the wedding industry. And then, yeah, I think, you know, Kelly, one of the analogies that's run through my mind over these last 2.5 years is, one, I'm not a runner, but I picture it like running a race where they keep moving the finish line.
Yes.
And it felt like this like ultra marathon that none of us had trained for, but all of a sudden we're expected to just keep going. And you're like, okay, I think we're there. It's been the 6 weeks. It's been the 6 months. It's been the year. We're almost there. And then the finish line keeps getting pushed back. And
it does. Mm-hmm. And your abs, that's such a beautiful analogy. I've heard I make a lot of sports references, mm-hmm. because I was an athlete growing up. My kids are athletes. And so I have often said, I feel like they keep moving the goalpost, right? You can see it, but every time you think you're getting within sort of field goal range, all of a sudden it's moved all the way down, right? Yeah. The other thing that I would like your listeners and you to take into account is we have this big shared global experience that has hit everybody hard. That's the macro view, right? The micro view is everything that's happening to you as an individual during this period of time. Maybe you got sick. Maybe someone in your family got sick. Maybe your spouse or partner got laid off. Maybe you took a huge hit with your income that caused major financial stress during this period of time. Maybe there were other personal things. The divorce rate skyrocketed. Depression, anxiety, suicide all skyrocketed during this period. So we really do need and deserve to take a pause and step back and say, not only is there this huge sort of macro level global thing going on, there are all of our individual factors that intersect with this massive thing that's going on. And I'm sure, like me, the people you speak to and work with, hardworking, ambitious, wanting to over-deliver, wanting to provide people with the best possible experience. And that's really difficult to do when you also add in all of those other individual factors on top of it. So that's the long-winded way of saying we all need to give ourselves a little grace. Yeah. A little bit of grace will go a very, very long way.
And when you're talking about taking those moments of pause, and what did you say you referred to them?
Oh, Tara Brach, B-R-A-C-H. She's wonderful. This sacred pause, really, the sacred pause. And it's just pumping the brakes for a minute to give yourself enough distance and space to be in the moment, and then to shift your perspective or your emotions or your thoughts about what's happening in the moment.
What would you say to someone that is like, that sounds great, Kelly, but my inbox is nonstop with client emails. My weekends are all packed with events. And right now I'm still trying to make up for the income that was lost or rebuild my business after this pandemic. How do I take those sacred moments? And then when I do, like, I'm fearful of what I'm even supposed to be doing in those moments of pause. Because I get a sense just from my conversations with wedding pros that they know I need to slow down. I need to reflect, but they can't even get to that place. And I can relate because I found myself in those moments as well.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you saw, I sort of was giggling a little bit when you were saying it, because when you said, what would you say to somebody who's, and I'm thinking, you mean what I'm asked every single day by people that I talk to? It's all day long, every day. So I completely get it. And it's especially relevant to ambitious high achievers, because we go, 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 we do, we're excited to do it. We love doing it, right? But what I do say, there are several things. Number one, a sacred pause is not taking a 3-month trip to an ashram in India. This is not what I'm asking you to go do. I'm not saying go sit on, you know, your yoga mat for 3 months and just let things go. That's not practical for most of us. So I'm talking about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes sprinkled throughout your day. And if you say, I can't, what you're really saying is I won't. And I know that's going to make some people irritated with me, but that is what you're saying. You're saying, I will not honor my physical and mental and psychological needs above work, above other people, above money. So that's number one, is to challenge yourself. And instead of saying, I can't, stop and ask yourself, is it really that I won't?
Yeah.
And if you won't because you're afraid, I get it. It's scary. All of this has been profoundly scary. But if we build businesses based on fear, they're not going to flourish and thrive. When all of our decisions are habituated on reacting to fears and worries and doubts, they're not going to be our best decisions. They really aren't. So I promise you, pausing throughout the day a few times is not going to tank your business. Yeah. And the emails are going to keep coming whether you pause or not. So my follow-up to that is, what is at stake if you don't start honoring what your mind and your body and your nervous system require for you to be a high performer? What is at stake if you just keep blowing that off and you keep your chemicals and your nervous system and your psyche and your emotions in this heightened, activated state all the time? Number one, energetic drain. Number two, vulnerability to mental illness. Number three, vulnerability to physical illness. And things like overwhelm and burnout, mm-hmm. which don't serve anyone's business. We also, when we're in that sort of hamster wheel mode where we're just going and whatever, you might get a nice little adrenaline and dopamine hit off of that that feels really good. But when that's all you do all the time, you will crash eventually. You will crash and you will start making mistakes. Things will slip through the cracks. Your attention to detail and focus will begin to slip. And that's especially in an event industry where details are everything. Creativity and innovation are everything. Those things are going to start to slip. Why? Because when you are in survival mode, that part of your brain, that's not a priority. Creativity is not a priority when you're in survival mode. Innovation, thinking outside of the box, not a priority to your brain when you're in survival mode. So if you don't pause, if you don't begin to set boundaries, and this is another thing, and in my experience, in particular with women, if you don't set boundaries around, this is when I rest. And by the way, rest is productive for any of you who are going to argue with me that you don't have time to rest. Your brain would disagree. Rest is productive. And this is why I like to talk about this. And it's funny because some of my training has to do with the brain. Mm-hmm. It's not just this, you know, airy fairy, touchy feely feeling stuff. It's no, your brain has to be on board with your business goals. So if you don't start to set boundaries around how you take care of your brain cannot take care of your business. And yeah. In an industry like yours, the ability to be incredibly creative and dream up the most wonderful experiences that match your clients' desires and blow them out of the water, you're not going to be able to do that if your brain is constantly in go mode.
Yeah, I deeply agree with that. I have jokingly for years referred to myself as a recovering people pleaser because... Mm-hmm. As I mentioned when we started recording, I do think our industry attracts people that, you know, it truly is about the connection and the emotion and the feelings. And this, when we think about what we do, it's very high touch, high emotion. There's a lot of involvement from several different family members. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of heavy weight. There's a lot of scope creep in what we do. And I know for years, many, many years, as a wedding planner, my goal was to underpromise and overdeliver and exceed expectations. But that was at the detriment of my happiness, the detriment of having a life outside of what feels like a very 24/7 industry. Like, we are typically working when others are celebrating and barbecuing and hanging at the pool and going to the beach. We're there. Like, we're supposed to be available when our clients are out of their job. So a lot of our clients will push us to be available nights and weekends because they have a job and they're working and they're thinking, you know, we need to meet with you outside of those hours. Then their events take place on the weekends as well. And you just get hit nonstop with the lack of boundaries when you don't have them as a small business owner.
Absolutely. And I very much relate to this as a former practicing therapist, because really for the same reasons, there's a strong need and desire for what you do. Mm-hmm. People have jobs and families and they want you to be available on off times, mm-hmm. so to speak. And there is an expectation that you will deliver in a way that's life-changing. Really?
Yeah.
And what I would say to people, because no is one of my favorite words, to be quite honest with you, ask my children, they'll tell you. but you have to be quite careful. I mean, I would often say, do you want your surgeon tired? Do you want your surgeon burned out? Do you want your surgeon overwhelmed when she shows up? Do you want your therapist like that? Mm-mm. So no, I don't work on weekends. Here are my evening hours. They are not every day of the week. here are my days where I do early morning before work hours, which is also not every day of the week. And yes, I eat lunch.
Yes.
I do not work when I eat lunch. I sit and I eat and I digest.
Yes.
So, and all of a sudden you could see people start to go, oh, right. Okay. I get that. And while weddings are not life ending, they are life beginning for a lot of people. That's the way they look at it. This is a marker mm-hmm. of the next sort of phase of my life. It is a big, big deal. And so the details matter. The delivery matters. Also, the crisis management, just much like in medicine and in mental health, the crisis management matters. Yes. And who do you know who hasn't had a crisis at their wedding? I mean, right? Goodness gracious, something always happens, you know?
Yes.
So you don't want your wedding planner to be exhausted, depleted, not present with you because he or she is in 20 other places in their heads. Your ability to show up and be detail-oriented, have follow-through, have excellent management skills with all your vendors, be able to handle an I know you all do your best to anticipate the crises that may happen, but there's always that other one that sneaks in that you weren't expecting. But your ability to nip that in the bud and handle it with grace and in a way that nobody even notices, by the way, can we just acknowledge that? That requires you to be physically, mentally, and emotionally available with a full cup. So boundaries are everything. And the other thing that is similar with the wedding and event industry and therapy is there will always be another client.
Ooh.
Always. People are not going to stop having weddings and events.
Yeah.
People are unfortunately not going to stop having mental health crises. So if you say no to one, you can guarantee there will be another. And if in your saying no to one, that allows you to truly over-deliver on the things you've said yes to without depleting yourself, then those people will turn to their friends and say, you have to hire Megan. My entire psychotherapy business was built on word of mouth because that's how I worked. I over-delivered for everyone, but not at the expense of my, you know, me being well-rested, well-fed, having a sense of humor, you know, having my family taken care of. And it's the same thing with the practice I have now. The majority of my work comes from me being introduced by other people to other people.
Yeah.
And it's because I have no qualms saying no to someone who isn't an ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true for all of you. There will be another event. There will be another wedding. There will be another, you know, celebration happening because we're not going to stop doing those things.
And I think there's some trauma there, Kelly, from 2020 and 2021 when the business was non-existent and clients mm-hmm. were unhappy and the fear and anxiety around like, but will there be another client? It was almost like complete nothingness to complete overwhelm. So it's
yes.
that like from one end to the other for our industry. And I think really what I want to, there's two things you said that I jotted down notes to that I want to come back to. One was the idea of there will be another client and saying no to something create space for the yes, for perhaps the right client. Mm-hmm. Is that what in these moments of pause, because as this episode is coming out, we're wrapping up 2022. Should the moments of pause be the time to look at what the heck just happened over mm-hmm. the last year and question, okay, when I look at the clients that I worked with, what were the ones that were completely soul-sucking, that made me dread opening my email, that gave me intense anxiety as I was trying to go to sleep at night? What were the things that I said yes to that I regretted after the fact? Is that what we should be doing with the moments of pause, or is it a different use?
Yeah. So it's a different use. And I'm really glad that you brought that up because moments of pause are very short, right? They are meant for you to get back in your body, get back in the moment, and ask yourself really discerning questions about whether you're being reactive in the moment or you're being responsive. Am I coming from a place of fear and scarcity and lack, or am I coming from a place of clarity and command and boundaries and confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So those are just like the mini pauses, or it's a mini pause of reflection. I'm feeling very triggered right now. I'm feeling very fill in the blank, anxious, concerned, whatever. I'm going to do some deep breathing, get back in my body. The things that you're talking about require a little bit more time and space for a deeper reflection. So what I recommend to people is that you build into your CEO schedule blocks of time that allow you to either sit and reflect, sit and write, mind map, do voice notes, whatever is the best way for you to process your thoughts. I will tell you the best way is not by keeping them in your brain. Our mm-hmm. brains are terrible storage devices, terrible, terrible. So very much better out than in is what I'm saying. But you know, we all have the best intentions, which is why I say block it on your calendar. Treat it with the same respect you would treat a sales call or a, you know, referral chat with somebody. You wouldn't just blow that off. You would show up and deliver. You need to do the same for yourself. So when you set those times for reflection and reevaluation of what the heck just happened, not only would you benefit from saying, what was it about that couple or that client that just was, like you said, soul sucking and draining, create anxiety for me. But the second part of that question is, why did I say yes to that?
Ooh, I like that.
What's going on with me that would drive a yes that was clearly not in my best interest? Because we have to stop acting like the paycheck coming in for a job done is the only thing that's in our best interest. It's not. There are people who I've gotten on sales calls with who have said, literally, I'll write you a check for whatever. I don't care what this costs. I wouldn't have taken their money for anything. It didn't matter because I knew the other costs would be entirely too great. And then I would resent them. It would not allow me to show up as my best self, do my best work. So the dollar amount wouldn't have mattered. And I understand, and again, this is not for you to be judgy about yourself or critical that, oh, I took that for the money. A lot of people did because we came out of this period of great scarcity. So of course you're leading with, how do I get the money flowing again? How do I rebuild my savings? How do I start taking a paycheck? But we have to examine the things that drive us to make decisions that are not of service. Because the truth is, if they're not great clients, we're also not doing our best work. And even I know you all have had this experience where in your mind, you over-delivered and the client still wasn't happy.
100%.
And you all have been doing this long enough to see the red flags in those people from the get-go. And yet you still said yes, right? So I'm not saying examine that in yourself to beat yourself up. I'm saying examine that in yourself to see what's driving that decision, because there's both internal work to be done and practical work on your business. Meaning, where are there opportunities for you to expand your streams of revenue so that maybe it's not all dependent on something that a pandemic can wipe out?
Yeah, right? I love that.
So let's start to look at that. Let's start to talk to our financial advisors, or if you don't have one, get a fiduciary and start talking to them about, how do I insulate my wealth better? Notice the word choice is different. I didn't say income. I said wealth. How do I begin to insulate my wealth better so that if something like another pandemic comes along in my lifetime, that I don't get wiped out? Mm-hmm. How do I begin to invest in other things that are, for example, my business doubled during the pandemic, doubled. And I watched, and it's because other people's businesses got wiped out and they were rebuilding or restarting or pivoting or whatever. And they really needed the support that they had needed before anyway, but they were just pointing, you know, pushing it off. But how can you begin to branch out in a way that gives you more financial stability? And how can you begin to work on yourself so you're less reactive to fear, anxiety, scarcity, et cetera? And you can show up every day saying, no matter what's going on in the world or what's going on in my little world, I am able to show up and lead and produce and serve and deliver. That's how you insulate yourself from anything that's going on, from a recession to your political climate to a pandemic to anything that's going on.
Yeah, I love that, Kelly. I've been jotting down so many notes, probably more than I have for any podcast recently. And you said something about looking at the choices or the clients or the decisions that you've made in your business and identifying it. But I love that follow-up question of, why did I say yes to that? And we talked about, you're right, we all know the red flags. Like we know them. I could probably list 10 of them right now. But my question to you is, would your advice be for someone that is listening to this, that if it's not a heck yes with a client, that it should be a heck no?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am, I'm a very decisive, definitive person, but I know the truth to be that most of life is in the gray. Mm-hmm. We live in the gray. Maybe. But with this situation, when it comes to ideal clients, if your intention is to build a business that is not only profitable, but doesn't create immense sacrifice on your end, meaning it sucks your energy, your joy, your mental health, your, this is sort of a falsehood phrase, but your work-life balance, so to speak, right? If that's your intention, is to build a business that way, then it must be that. If it is not an absolute yes, that you are jumping up and down saying, I am so excited this person's on my calendar. I am so excited this event is coming up. I'm so excited this, you know, consult is happening, whatever your language is around it. If you're not jumping up and down excited about seeing it on your calendar, it needs to not be on your calendar. There's not a single person on my calendar any week that I am not excited to talk to or work with.
Wow. I feel like there are so many wedding pros that need to hear that, because the other thing with our industry is that it's not like a day. It's not an appointment. We're talking 12 months to 2 years typically is how long we are working with a client.
Yes.
Okay. Follow-up question.
That's a long relationship, by the way.
A lot.
As a therapist to some people I worked with for many years, and now even in this situation, I can work anywhere from 6 months to 2 years with someone. I get that. And so remember, anything you're saying yes to means you're saying no to something else. Be very careful if the no you're saying is to yourself.
Yes. Oh, be very careful if the no you're saying is to yourself. Mm-hmm. What about, Kelly, when we book a client, maybe we miss the red flags and we're in the middle of that relationship? I think it's worth noting that I can take myself out of the wedding professional job and put myself in the client viewpoint as well. And I can see that these couples right now that are planning their wedding, they've seen all the things on the news. They've seen articles about couples that put a deposit down with a wedding pro, never got it back. The business is gone. They've heard horror stories from their friends. So our couples and our clients are, and family members, everyone that's coming into working with us, they're bringing a lot of anxiety and fear and nerves that we feel that we need to carry. So what happens if you find yourself in the middle of a client relationship that does not feel good? What would you advise?
So there's two parts to this, really, because, and again, I feel, I just have an affinity for this in that the number of times I heard as a therapist or in my position now, you're the last person I'm willing to try to work with. I have no trust for your field. There's a bunch of shenanigans going on. I mean, the coaching industry, unfortunately, is flooded with shenanigans. Mm-hmm. I'm using nice language for your podcast.
I like it.
But, you know, so I understand that people come to you with a level of anxiety or distrust, and they come by it honestly, very honestly. So two things. One is proactive and one speaks more directly to your question. So what I would encourage really anybody in any service-based industry at this point to do is really on the front end, be very heavy, mindful, explicit, and nuanced in your conversations that build rapport, that build trust, that address fears and anxieties. Again, on the front end. And if the potential client shows you that they're not willing to at least move the needle a little on that anxiety and on that trust, and they're not willing to exhale a little, I can all but guarantee you that's going to be a nightmare 2 years, a nightmare 2 years, because nobody really gets closer to their wedding and feels more relaxed.
This is so true.
I mean, maybe there's one or two people, but in my experience, and I'm not a wedding planner, you know, but people, you know, that all those emotions get heightened, right? That's number one. So you're doing yourself a huge favor. And I understand for a lot of people, this is an advanced skill that you're going to have to learn how to practice, which is really increasing your EQ. And there are some great books out there on EQ and how you build it and grow it and have crucial conversations that meet people's emotional needs, not just I'm proving to you that I can bring this dream and fantasy of your wedding into 3D reality. Yes, you have to show them that, but you have to be able to have conversations that meet people where they are emotionally now. And a lot of industries didn't have to do that so much before, mm-hmm. right? You just had to prove I am worth the amount that I am charging you. The value is there. I can create the outcome with you or, you know, for you that you want. Now the conversations are different because people are different. We're not the same as we were a couple of years ago. So that's front end. That'll keep you from finding yourself in the middle of a project that you're like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. somebody like I'm waving the white flag. I will say for your industry and other industries that deliver a finished product, exiting is not something I would recommend mid-contract, yeah. unless there is absolutely no way for you to deliver what you promised. If you end up, God forbid, with cancer in the middle of a project, please mm-hmm. exit the project mm-hmm. and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. But if your clients are just an absolute nightmare and you're halfway in and you bail, I guarantee you they are going to make it a nightmare for you.
Yeah.
See it through to the end and up what you do in your off time that falls under the umbrella of, and I hate this term, but people understand it, self-care. Mm-hmm. And the reason I hate it is because people try to convince me that getting their nails done is self-care. I'm like, oh, that's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, go to therapy, take time off, hold to your boundaries, make sure you're laughing a whole ton, feed your body super well, stay hydrated, no negotiating sleep, all that kind of stuff, right? And see the project to the end. And then part of the wrap up of that project is some deep reflective time on your calendar. What did I miss? When did those red flags show up? Why didn't I see them? Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes something happens with the couple or a member of the couple that changes everything. A parent dies, a child gets diagnosed with an illness, a pet dies, they lose their home, something happens and then it changes the dynamic and things become very ugly and difficult. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's a wash. There's nothing you can do about that, right? But sometimes it's that you took on something It wasn't in your best interest. You, yeah, butted the red flags when they came up. Yeah, but I need the money. Yeah, but really it's not okay for me to say no. Yeah, but she can be nice. Ooh. He can be nice. You know, that,
Yeah.
So with people like me in my industry, you can get into a relationship with someone, consulting and coaching, where 90 days in you say, we thought this was a match, this isn't a match, so we're going to wrap it up and I can refer you to someone else that I think might be a better match. Mm-hmm. That's different than when you have a wedding as the end result.
Yeah.
So that part is different. Right? Yeah. You can't just in the middle of it go, well, this isn't working out, so here you go. People do it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
So you're better off just, in my opinion, finishing out the project and then really reflecting and investing in the front end in the future so that this doesn't continue to repeat itself.
I agree with that. I can think of clients where a reset, like a recalibration of sorts, is particularly, like I've seen with mom sometimes, where it's more just we need to have a conversation. I have not done my job well in communicating why certain things are being done in a certain order. And it's the transparency and the conversation that helps them better understand. I've been on the client side of that too, where I'm the client and it's the unknown that has created anxiety for me. But once it is explained to me in a way that makes sense, it brings down that level of fear and micromanaging, which is something that I know I've had clients do. I know I have been that client before where it's like, I feel like I don't know what's happening next and I'm nervous over not knowing. And that makes me question things that I wouldn't have questioned had it been transparent in the beginning.
This is an excellent point. And for anyone who's listening, I think a very smart thing to work into your early conversations is a simple question. Does knowing extra details about what's going on behind the scenes soothe you or make you more anxious? Because I am the opposite. I am the opposite. I do not want to know the details. I do not want to know. Come to me if something has gone wrong and I need to make a decision. Come to me if there are options and you're not clear what option I would prefer. Mm. Come to me and I'll make that decision. Other than that, I don't want to know. I don't want to know a single thing. I want to show up and have the experience. I'm happy to make decisions along the way, but I do not want to know the details. They stress my brain out. And then there are other people, and you all, by the way, if you're not exposed to the Kolbe assessment, K-O-L-B-E, the Kolbe A assessment, this is one of the ways you can learn this about yourself. If your fact finder number, so your results will be four numbers. The first number is a fact finder number. If you are not above a 5, you are not a high fact finder. And details will likely, if you are under a 5, stress you out. You don't want to know them. So I'm a 4. My husband is a 9. My husband wants to know every detail about every single thing. It drives me bonkers because I am not like that. I am a 4. There are only certain things that I really want to know all the details about. So when you work with a client, for example, even in my relationship, that's an important thing for me to know in the beginning. Do you want to know things ahead of time, or do you not want to know things ahead of time? Because I'm not going to assume you're like me unless I know your Kolbe numbers. And I know, oh, this person is a high fact finder. She's going to want to know. And if you're a 3 fact finder, she's going to be like, I just want to show up. Can I just show up and we do all the things? Absolutely. So it's important. That's just a very simple question. If you don't want to do a deep dive into the Kolbe with people, a very simple question is, do you want to know all the details, whether they are working well or not working well? Mm-hmm. Or do you just want to know, are you on need to know basis?
Wow.
Yeah. And it will change your relationship with your client.
I really, really love that. I feel like that's one of those things that is so actionable from this episode that you can start doing tomorrow that truly will. Because it's so interesting that you and I are two, we would be two different clients for a potential wedding pro. And yeah, I think it's that is something that I hope that if you're listening to this, you really pull from what Kelly is saying and start doing that. Like there's been so many aha moments in this episode, but that is one of them for me because I am the, like, if I don't know, I start to spiral over
worry.
What,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. My husband is the same exact way. And that's just the last point I want to make about that is do not assume that because partners are attracted to each other and regardless of gender, by the way, whether it's a same-sex marriage mm-hmm. or it's not, or a partnership, he is a 9. I am a 4. We yeah. are not alike in this way at all. So it really would behoove you to ask both partners this question. Because one may want a lot of information and the other one may just say, just come to me if there's a problem and we'll solve it, you know, and that will make the flow and your communication efforts streamlined, efficient, and effective. So don't assume that both partners are on the same page with how much they want to know about what's going on.
Would you file that under the EQ, like raising your EQ of how to work with clients, or is that completely like a separate?
Yes, because what you are doing in the end is meeting an emotional need. Because mm-hmm. again, if details soothe you or details stress you, it is an important part of a conversation that meets an emotional need for somebody. Because what you're then going to do as the planner is adapt your communication style to meet the emotional need of the person you're working with, which also then benefits you because, you know, if you're wondering why the person is so stressed out and you're thinking, what, I'm just handling everything behind the scenes. There's nothing for them to worry about. They're worrying because they don't know.
Yes.
Versus the person who doesn't want to know all the things and you're throwing every detailed decision interaction at them. I would want to run away screaming if somebody did that to me.
Okay. I want to point something out for my wedding pros that are listening, because a lot of us are going to be the detail oriented. That's yes. why we're in this industry. But yes. I can't tell you how many times I have seen comments from wedding professionals that are like, my client has just stopped responding to me. Like they're not getting back to me. I can't get a hold of them. I'm emailing them. They've just like ghosted me in this process. And I'm thinking, as I'm hearing you say this, it's because we have overwhelmed them with information and they're shutting down and cannot get back to us.
Yes. So what happens is people like me, if mm-hmm. you give me too much detail, what happens is I get flooded mm-hmm. and my brain just goes, nope. My team knows, don't show me spreadsheets. Do not show me a spreadsheet.
I actually don't like spreadsheets either.
If there's something on a spreadsheet that requires my information, color code it and call my attention to it. And I will make the decision necessary. I don't need to know all the line items. Like I don't tell me because I will get flooded and then I tap out. And in my mind, I hired you so I don't have to deal with all of these details. Yes. Whereas someone like you and likely most people in event spaces, because they demand being detail oriented, you may assume that your client wants all of those details. He or she may not. They may be like me and say, no, 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 that's what I hired you for because the details give me a headache. Mm. Right. And that's why they're not getting back to you because in their head, they're going, this is what I hired you for. Just get it done, please. Oh my gosh. Now I need to go take a nap or whatever it is. Right. So this is the simplest thing that you can do on the front end of the beginning of your relationship with somebody. And then at checkpoints, you can go in and say, hey, just taking the temperature here, would you like more detail? Would you like less detail? Because don't assume it'll be the same throughout. That's the other thing. As you get closer to the event or the wedding, somebody may say, oh, can you just go over with me? Like, are all these things checked off, I's dotted, T's crossed, blah, 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 because the anxiety closer to the event is getting higher. So the my other point is, don't treat it like a one and done. Even if something didn't go, say, awry in your relationship, I think it is very helpful in any service-based industry to have checkpoints where you may say, hey, I think something went a little off the rails. Or you may say, this is the way I'm experiencing it. It feels very smooth to me, but I'm interested in you, the client. How are you experiencing this? How can we do better? Or do we just continue to do what we've been doing because you're also experiencing it that way? I think that's a really just very easy, practical thing for you to do that makes everybody feel heard, seen, validated, and gets their needs met.
Phenomenal. That's another aha. It's the asking at the beginning, do you want to know all the details or would you rather just have the highlights, and then checking in throughout the process? Really, really good. It made me think of, there's a Jerry Seinfeld stand-up skit where he talks about being on the plane, and you get on the plane and the pilot comes on and he's like, okay, everybody, I'm going to take us up to 25,000 feet. Then we're going to go through here and here, and then we're going to land here. And he's like, I don't need to know all that. Am I just going to get me to where it says I'm going to be on the ticket and it'll be great?
That's me. I'm Jerry. That is me. If the pilot came on and told me all of that, I would be rolling my eyes in my seat. Just tell me when we're landing and where to get my luggage. I don't need to know anything else.
Oh, I like to know, like, hey, when we get, 30 minutes up, there's going to be some extra turbulence. So just so you know, like, if it gets a little shaky, don't stress out. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, I'd be like, why did you tell me that? I was perfect. I was having my mimosa. I was so happy. And you just wrecked it for me. Right. So, but that is the whole point is, yes, you can't make everybody happy all the time, but when you're in a service-based business that is working with individuals, couples, small groups, it is very easy to work this into your systems and processes, these conversations, and has such a profound psychological effect on people. Mm-hmm. And remember, that's part of what you're leaving them with. It's not just the event you deliver, it's the experience, 100%. Not just the culmination of all the work. And that will increase the likelihood that somebody will refer you, because you may deliver the most beautiful wedding, but if the process leading up to it was a nightmare, this just happened with us. We just had all new flooring installed. Mm-hmm. The flooring looks beautiful. The entire process was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I would not refer this company, even though I look down at my flooring, I'm like, it looks beautiful, but the process was terrible.
Yeah.
So you have to keep that in mind, that the process and your ability to connect, communicate, validate, meet people where they're at, that will ensure them turning around and also saying, this person made it so easy for me to have a wonderful day, and that's what you want, is that word of mouth is the best marketing on the planet.
Absolutely. And as we wrap, I would add that that's even more reason to charge appropriately for your services, so that you're not trying to manage 47 different clients within a year and you are spread so thin that you cannot include those touch points. Like, you cannot Correct. Personalize the experience. So that ties really nicely back to, you're listening to this episode. We're wrapping up a really crazy year, and it is time to look at what happened and why. Why did I say yes to these things? And then making choices as we're heading into what we in the industry call the engagement season, where so many people are getting engaged. We're about to get flooded with inquiries again. It's really that time to reflect and make choices that will hopefully provide a level of...
I'm completely following you. Yeah. I totally get it. It's setting yourself up for next year to be different and better, right?
Yeah.
So the one thing I do want to leave listeners with is a really important reminder about your business. which is that your business serves other people, but it should also serve you. And I have seen too many people build businesses that serve other people incredibly well and leave them incredibly depleted, even if their bank account is full. That is not a win. That is not why we got into business. So as you look towards next year and you look towards making changes, adjustments to processes, systems, your ideal client description, can you please, I'm begging you, please ask yourself the question one day while you're having your tea or coffee or whatever, is how can I run my business in 2023 so that it serves me as well as it serves my clients?
That's a really good question. Kelly, this episode had so many ahas for me as well. And I just know that it's going to be so impactful for our listeners. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, that's a beautiful compliment. Thank you so much. And I'm really glad that it did. I hope it does for your listeners as well. And again, take anything that struck you today and put it into action, whether the action is simply, I'm going to go take a walk in the park and really chew on this, or I'm going to drop this in my journal, or I'm just going to add that one question in my process. Don't listen, get an aha, and then float off into busy world. Take something and make it simple and just put it into action. Your future self will thank you for it.
I love that. Where can our listeners connect with you and learn more?
Sure. I am very easy to find. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me at kellyruta.com, which is at the time of this recording under a bit of construction, but we are still there. You can email me directly, info@kellyruta.com. I answer emails. I have an assistant, but she forwards things to me and I do answer people directly. And I also have an assessment for people to take that is completely free. It's invisiblesaboteur, SABOTEUR.com. And what it reveals to you, it takes about 3 to 5 minutes, maybe max. And what it reveals to you is the subconscious limiting belief that is causing you to be the bottleneck in your own business. So we all know we have tons of potential, and we also all know that we get in our own way or in the way of our teams. And this will show you why. It's not because you're not smart enough. It's not because you don't know better. It's not because you don't have experience or expertise. The mind is an incredible thing. And this assessment very quickly shows you, oh, this is why I keep tripping myself up. So I encourage you to take it and find out what yours is.
I will be taking that right after I hit stop on this recording. Kelly, thanks again for coming on the show. This was an amazing episode.
Thank you for having me.
That was Kelly Ruta, who you can find at kellyruta.com. And I wasn't kidding about writing pages of notes. There were so many aha moments for me with Kelly. I'll share some of the links that Kelly mentioned in the show notes, and we'll be sharing more of our thoughts on social media. You can share too by joining us in the Weddings for Real Facebook group or find us on Instagram. We're at Weddings for Real. Tag or DM us because I'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.